If you have your Bibles this morning, and I hope you do, open them with me to Galatians chapter 5. And today's topic is the right way to walk. When we think about basic questions for life, we think about questions like, where do I go? Who do I follow? How do I get there? And Scripture wisely instructs us that there is a right and a wrong way to go. There are right and wrong people to follow. And there is right and wrong counsel on how to get where we're going. Perhaps you're here today and you have a question in your life about the where or the who, or even the how. How do I get there? I pray today that our hearts will be open to God's Word, that our eyes and our ears will be open to hear what the Scripture says, and the fact that we can trust the Bible, and we can trust that the Bible gives us the right way to walk. We need to walk by the Scriptures. We need to walk by the Spirit. We need to walk in the steps of Jesus Christ. Today I want to begin in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. The Apostle Paul, by the inspiration of God, says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit." Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. These two are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, things like these. I warn you, as I have warned you before, that those who do such things, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit that comes from the Spirit, it includes love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. In this passage, the Apostle Paul gives us two bookends, if you will. The first, in verse 16, walk by the Spirit. The second bookend, in verse 25, live by the Spirit. Also, keep in step with the Spirit. The right way to walk is to walk by the Spirit. We begin as we think about this admonition to walk by the Spirit, and you'll not gratify the desires of the flesh. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, Paul answers the question of where should we go? Where should our lives, what direction should our lives be going? And he gives us two directions. There's the way of the Spirit, and there's the way of the flesh. Paul says to us as believers in Jesus Christ, walk by the Spirit. Walk in the direction of the Spirit. It's an interesting word, walk. What does that word mean? When Paul uses that word walk here in Galatians chapter 5, that word refers to the Christian's life, the Christian's day-to-day life, the course of your life, the direction, specifically our behavior and how we live, our conduct, also including the consequences of our behavior. So the course in which we walk, the direction in which we go, the conduct of our life, our behavior, all results in consequences. Notice first the direction of the Spirit, the course of the Spirit, if you will, the conduct that comes from the Spirit's control. By living in this way, Christians can be sure that they will not go in the direction that the flesh wants to go. When Paul uses this word flesh, what is he speaking of? Well, you'll notice there in verse 16, he says, if you walk by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Obviously, we have two contrasts here. We have the Spirit and we have the flesh. The Spirit being good, the flesh being bad, and specifically the desires of the flesh being those evil things that come from our flesh. Jesus Christ, when he was teaching his disciples, he said, it's from your own heart that evil thoughts originate. So when we think about the word flesh, we think about our heart, we think about our inner nature, what comes from within us. And perhaps this seems surprising to you and I that Paul would speak of the flesh in a negative way, because many times in our world we use our flesh or our heart in the most positive way, in the sense of follow your heart. You ever heard that? Follow your gut. Follow your feelings. Paul says as believers, no. Walk by the Spirit. You do not want to gratify the desires of your flesh. You do not want to go in the direction that your flesh, your heart says to go. And he even goes a step further. Notice in verse 17, for the desires of your flesh, the desires of your evil heart are against the Spirit. The desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. These two are opposed to each other. Literally, they're opposites. One way is this way, one way is that way. The course of each one, they go in opposite directions. Think about opposites for just a moment. Hot and cold. Light and dark. If you walked into your favorite coffee shop and you said, I'd like a cup of hot and cold coffee, they might look at you and think you were a little odd. You can't have a cup of hot and cold coffee. It's either hot or it's either cold. Light and dark. If you walked in the room and you asked your spouse, please turn on the light so I can sit in the dark, your spouse would be, what in the world are you talking about? You cannot sit in the light and the dark. They are diametrically opposed to one another. In the same way, Paul is saying, you cannot be going in the direction of your flesh and the Holy Spirit at the same time. They're opposed to each other. They are opposites. The way of the Spirit is the opposite direction of the way of the flesh, and the way of the flesh is the opposite direction of the way of the Spirit. If we needed any more counsel on this, Paul expands on this and he says, think about the works of the flesh. He goes straight to the conduct. What is the behavior that is demonstrated when you're going in the direction that your flesh and your heart says to go? He says things like, there's sexual immorality, there's impurity, there are dissensions, there are divisions. There is a course that your heart and your flesh will take you, and it leads you right into immorality, immoral behavior. It leads you right into divisive behavior. But the way of the Spirit, which he calls fruit that comes from the Holy Spirit, is demonstrated in what kind of behavior? Love, self-control, peace, kindness, gentleness. The conduct of one who is led by the Spirit is characterized by godly qualities. For God is love, He is peace, He is the source. And so, sexual immorality and impurity could be looked at as the opposite of genuine love and self-control. Dissensions and divisions, they're the exact opposite of peace and kindness and gentleness. So, in essence, Paul is helping us to understand that if we want a certain kind of conduct, if we want a certain kind of behavior, then we have to travel in a certain direction to get that. I'm sure if I asked most of you, what do you want out of life? Outside of a few of you saying, well, $1 million would be nice, you know. Perhaps after that, I think most of us would say a life of love, a life of peace, a good life, a life of goodness. How do we get there? It's the way of the Spirit. It's the way of the Spirit. It is not through the way of the flesh. It's to walk in the direction of the Spirit. But also we see the Spirit as a course or a direction, but we also see the leadership of the Spirit. You move on down to verse 25, and Paul says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. He uses a different word here in verse 25 than he does in verse 16. Here in verse 25, he's speaking of the guidance of the Spirit, the leadership of the Spirit, living by the Spirit, keeping in step with the Spirit. This is a picture of the Holy Spirit as our leader. Literally, to be aligned with the Spirit. in the sense of marching in line behind the Spirit. Our school that meets here on our campus, every day they form a line to go to a certain place. Maybe it's the dining hall, maybe it's the gym, maybe it's the playground. And every day that teacher, you can probably hear what the order is, get in line. Stay in line. Follow the leader. To walk in the Spirit or to keep in step with the Spirit is to stay in line following the leadership of the Spirit. And if we allow the Spirit to lead us, the Spirit will never lead us into immorality. Rather, the Spirit will give us self-control. The Spirit will never lead us to cause division. Rather, the Spirit will lead us to be peacemakers. Now, when we think about the right way to walk, we hear Paul say, walk by the Spirit. But secondly, I want you to notice the who. The question of who to follow. Who do we follow? Notice the phrase in verse 24. Those who belong to, somebody tell me, Christ Jesus. To belong to Christ Jesus. Those who belong to Christ Jesus. Paul here answers the question of who we're to follow. The Spirit gives us direction. Jesus Christ is who we follow. You and I, we belong to Christ. The early Christians were called Christians because they followed Christ. They followed the ways of Christ. They followed the teachings of Christ, and so they were called Christians. You and I, to this day, 2,000 years later, we are called Christians, those who belong to Christ, those who follow Christ. Jesus said to his disciples as he was calling them in Matthew 4:19, follow me, Jesus said. Of all the things that Jesus could have said to them, he said, hey, follow me. Follow me. And so Peter and Andrew, James and John, they followed Jesus. Let's think about what Spurgeon said of this call to follow. The disciples were to follow Christ in order to listen to Him, to hear what He had to say, to drink in His teaching, and then to go and teach others what He had taught them. When Jesus said to them, follow me, He said, I'm going to show you the way to live. I'm going to show you a new way of life. Hear me. Listen to me. Drink in my teaching. And I will show you the way. 1 Peter 2:21, Peter writes that this is the reason, or this is to whom we have been called. Because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so you might follow in His steps. Following, literally, in the footprints of Jesus. Jesus would say, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Jesus would tell his disciples that in order to follow me, you will have to deny yourself. Very similar to that contrast between the flesh and the spirit. Jesus would tell his disciples, you cannot follow your heart and follow me at the same time. Why would following Christ require self-denial? Because Jesus was going to the cross. No person would naturally, within their heart, want to walk the road to the cross of Christ. Jesus said, you'll have to deny yourself in order to be willing to take up the cross and follow me. So again, here we see opposites. One, deny self and follow Christ. Or one can exercise self-indulgence. Who do you follow if you're demonstrating self-indulgence? You follow self, don't you? I'm in the lead. I do what I want to do. I do what my heart tells me to do. I do what I feel like doing. There is no self-denial. There's only self-indulgence. I follow me. In this same letter, Galatians chapter 2, a very memorable verse, perhaps the most memorable of Galatians 2, Galatians 2:20. Paul spoke to this contrast of either following self or following Christ, and he said, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who now lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. For Paul, placing his faith and trust in Jesus Christ gave him a whole new purpose, a whole new mission, a whole new identity. So much so that he would say, everything I ever wanted, everything my heart ever desired, it's been crucified. It has been put to death. In another letter, he would say, I count it as trash, as rubbish. My whole desire now is that Christ lives in me. He is leading me. I am following him. And that, for Paul, is what it meant to live by faith. It meant to follow Christ. Every hour of every day, the Christ who loves me and who gave himself for me. To walk in his steps means to follow Christ, but also to walk with Christ. I think as simply put as we could, Jesus was asking his disciples to walk with me. Stay by my side. Accompany me. He would say to them, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I'll show you the way to the Father. I am the only way to God the Father. When we think about Christ saying such an emphatic statement, I am the way. Commentator Gerald Borchert said it this way, the concept of a way of life, it was foundational. Not only do the proclamation of Jesus and the Apostle Paul and John, but when you think all the way back to the past, to Israel and the teachings of the rabbis, the Hebrew word they would use for walk It provided insight to when Jesus would say to them in a Middle Eastern context, I am the way. What do you mean? Well, the law was not to be understood primarily as a set of rules, but as a walk with God. So Jesus, he told his disciples, I'm the way. I will show you the way of life. You follow me. Walk with me. Who had the most trouble with Jesus? Well, walking through the book of Luke with Pastor Greg, we know the Pharisees had some of the biggest trouble with Jesus. They had their rules. They had their list. They missed the whole point. Jesus would say, yes, I've come to fulfill the law, but even more than that, you can't fulfill the law. You can't keep all your rules, human effort alone. Follow me. I will show you the way. Walk with me on a daily basis. So we see verses like Genesis 17:1, where so many years ago, God appeared to Abram when he was 99 years old. And he said to Abram, I am God Almighty. Walk before me. Walk before my face, Abram. Stay close to me, Abram. Walk with me. Exodus chapter 18 and verse 20. That foundational scene where the law is to be given and revealed, the Lord instructed Moses, you warn the people, yes, of my statutes and my laws, and you make known to them the way in which they must walk. Let me ask you, have you reduced the Christian life to some simple list of do's and don'ts? Hear the words of Jesus today. Follow me. Follow me. The behavior will take care of itself if you will follow me. If you will walk with me. Walk in my ways. Walk in my footsteps. Hear Jesus say, I am the way. Stay close to me. Listen to my voice. Lastly today, you may say, well, I can't see Jesus. I can't audibly hear his voice. I would argue today that Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 3 helped young Timothy understand what it meant to follow Christ and helps us today know what it means to walk with Christ. It's to continue in what you've learned. Continue in what you firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it. You heard about the ways of Jesus, I'm sure, in a very similar way to me. You heard someone teach you the way and the word of Christ, the scriptures. And Paul said to young Timothy, some of Paul's last words, continue in what you've learned. Continue in what you have believed. And Timothy, you never forget who you learned it from. Don't ever forget that. Verse 15 says, Timothy, you remember your childhood? You were acquainted with those sacred writings. Paul refers to the teaching of the Bible as sacred. and someone, Timothy, that you loved and you placed your trust in, they shared with you those sacred writings and you walked in them, continue in them. Those are the only writings that tell you how you can be forgiven and be saved. Timothy, continue in the Scriptures. The older I get, the more I'm convinced that one of the greatest temptations that I have and that you have as a believer is to walk away from the Scriptures. I think on a daily basis, one of the greatest temptations that you and I face is our own heart that says, lean on my understanding. Satan and the forces of evil that seek to deceive us and say, walk this way. This evil world system that we live in that's trying to conform us to its mold, go this way. Turn your back on what you've learned. Turn your back on who taught you those words. Turn your back on the only source that teaches you about life and salvation and forgiveness. But I will say this, to continue in the Scriptures, to walk with Christ implies that we must be willing to accept the correction of the Scriptures. 2 Timothy 3:16, what a foundational verse. Paul told young Timothy, and young Timothy, you remember that all those sacred writings, all of Scripture, it is God-breathed, it's inspired by God, and it's useful, it's profitable for four things: for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Here's where we get specifics on what it means to walk with Christ, what it means to walk by the Spirit, what it means to walk in the Scriptures. It means that on a daily basis we need teaching. What is teaching? How to think rightly. Well, how appropriate, because if our flesh and our heart is always pushing us in the wrong direction, then we need that, don't we? We need to know how to think rightly, but not just how to think rightly. We need reproof. Scripture convicts us of wrong thoughts, wrong words, wrong behavior. We need the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to show us when we're wrong. And if we're honest, then on a daily basis we should confess our wrongs to God and to one another. We need correction. I think the best way to think of correction is to be redirected. Redirected back to God, back to what is true, back to what is right. You see, Scripture and walking with Christ and the Spirit, it's more than just showing us where we're wrong. It's showing us the right way to go and how to get back to that right place. Ultimately, it's training in righteousness. Training, I believe, specifically, training us how to walk with Christ. Because Christ is our only hope of righteousness. He is our righteousness. To be instructed on how to walk with Christ. As our musicians come and prepare for our time of invitation, how are you doing? Where are you going? Where is your life taking you? You going the right direction or the wrong direction? Who are you following in life? Who are you listening to? Is Jesus Christ the one you're following? How are you getting where you're going? How are you doing in marriage? How are you doing in parenting? How are you doing in your daily life? Are you walking in the Word? Are you continuing day by day, minute by minute in the Scriptures? Father God, I pray today, may we be reminded of the right way to walk, the right direction to go, the right person to follow. Jesus, thank you for revealing yourself to us, for being near to us, giving us your Spirit to be in us, our counselor on a daily basis. May we walk by your Spirit. Walk with you, Jesus. Walk in your words. In your precious name we pray. Amen.